All right, here we go. My name's Jeff Kane. You're listening to episode 376 of the world-famous West Virginia Surf Report podcast. I need new socks, my friends. And how's that for a hard-hitting intro? Are you intrigued? Did I reel you in on this one? But I got, you know, my socks are a disaster. My collection of socks is in terrible shape. They got holes in them, a lot of them. Not every pair, but, you know, a sizable percentage. You got holes in them. The elastic's saying to hell with it. The elastic said, just threw up its hands and said, I'm not doing this anymore. How many years are we supposed to? I mean, I don't know. I don't know how some of these things might be really old. I mean, I just have them in a drawer, and I wear them until they start getting holy. You know, and they start they don't work anymore. They don't serve the purpose anymore. So a good percentage of them have gone. What the hell was that? A good percentage of them have you know, crossed over the Rainbow Bridge. So anyway, I told Tony, I said, I'm going to go to Walmart today, and I'm going to buy new socks. I'm going to buy like a whole bunch of them, and I'm going to refresh. I'm going to throw away all my current socks and just start new. She goes, it's raining, it's pouring, it's gross outside, it's cold, and you're going to go to Walmart on a Saturday, and it's going to be insane in there. She goes, why don't you just order some off like Amazon or something? So I went on Amazon. I was going to see if they had any bulk deals. I also went on Walmart.com. One of them, I can't remember which one, had a 180 pairs for $180, like a dollar a pair. Like, who would buy that? I think I know. I think it's those people that show up at those swap meets and, you know, those like flea markets and stuff. There's always a tent where they sell socks and stuff like that. They must buy those things off of Amazon or Walmart or wherever for a dollar a pair. They sell them for $250. You know? I didn't know, but I don't know if I want to pay $180, but I wouldn't mind having 180 new pairs of socks. you know what I'm saying? You know, I also saw on there when I was looking, they had underwear that's like disposable. It's like a 20 pack. You just wear them one time, just toss them, Like, what the hell? Each one of them's like shrink wrapped in its own pouch. The hell is this? What is all this weirdness? But anyway. I think I'm going to go over there after I finish with this podcast. I'm going to stock up on news. I'm very particular, my friends. When I zero in on something I like, I stick with it for life. Yeah, that's why us old bastards are no longer, you know, nobody cares about our thoughts on anything because we you know, we're set in our ways, right? It irritates me when they say, I don't know, whatever the age group is, that the most sought after age group, those are the ones that can easily be swayed. When you get up to my age, they don't even give a shit, you know. They don't care. They ask you, like, if they do a survey. I get these survey emails. So would you like to take a survey about some products, and you get paid for it? You know, I said, hell yeah. They said it'll take like 10 minutes. I said, hell yeah. And the thing says, what's your age? And I tell them, and they go, all right, we're done here. This stupid phone. Hang on a second. I thought I turned this bitch off. Why is it always making noises? I'm turning it off right now. I apologize for that. That's very unprofessional. I know you guys are not accustomed to unprofessionalism on here. Anyway, when I zero in on something, that's what I wear. Gray crew socks. I don't know what that means. I don't know what a crew. What is it? Like a crew of what? Like workers? I don't know. Or is that like something to do with boating? I don't know. That's what I wear. I wear a zero in on that. That's what I wear, and it serves me well. All right. And also, pretty much, I wear the same kind of shirt, like a button-up shirt, you know, and a certain brand of jeans. And, you know, everything, and there's all the products, or the, you know, I zero in on something I like, except for shampoo. I don't really give two shits about that. I don't know why. I'm very particular about everything, but I don't care about shampoo. Whatever Tony puts in there, shit, I'll use a dishwashing liquid. I don't care, you know. For some reason, I don't really care about that. But anyway, I thought I'd bring you up to date on the terrible, terrible situation with my socks. It's a sad state of affairs. I've been still playing around with AI, artificial intelligence, which is Google Gemini, is what I've been playing around with. And I asked it the other day. I said, what is the West Virginia Surf Report? All right, let me find that, and I'll read it to you, what it answered. It was kind of surprising. All right. I just said, what is the West Virginia Surf Report? It answered, the West Virginia Surf Report isn't actually a report on real-world surfing conditions in West Virginia. It's a comedic podcast! Here's the breakdown. It's a comedy podcast. The West Virginia Surf Report is the brainchild of comedian Jeff Kay. It's part of his Ridiculous Adventures in Suburbia project. It's satirical. The title creates a humorous image of surf reports for a landlocked state with no coastline. Content. The podcast episodes don't discuss surfing. The content is likely humorous and unrelated to surfing. So a couple things there. Comedian Jeff Kay. I'm not a comedian. I don't know. That part's a little off. But it's pretty good. I mean, that's pretty good. Analysis. I mean, it used to be a website. I assumed it would say it's a comedy website or a humor website, but I guess it's gone full blown podcast now. And but they, you know, I like that they zeroed in on the landlocked part of it, no coastline. And I don't know about the content is likely humorous. I don't care for that. What are they trying to say there? It's likely humorous and unrelated to surfing. What do you think about that? The West Virginia Surf Report is the brainchild of comedian Jeff Kay. It's part of his Ridiculous Adventures in Suburbia project. That's pretty damn good. These artificial intelligence, it's, you know, zeroing in on this stuff, man. So I thought that was pretty interesting. It's pretty good, actually. Except for the comedian part. I don't know. But anyway, so I thought I'd share that. You play around with that AI stuff. I don't know. I had a class. They were talking about it, and they said it's going to change the world. It's not, you know, like nobody's going to have it. Everybody's going to be working 20 hours a week. I've heard that one before. In terrible news, baseball news, one of the Cincinnati Reds, you know, stars, one of their young stars, their team is loaded with youngsters who are, you know, possibly superstars in the near future. Noel V. Marte is their, you know, supposed to be their third baseman. You know, everybody assumed it was going to be their, you know, their third baseman. He tested positive for steroids, performance enhancing drugs. Like, what the guy's 22 years old. You know, and he's trying to recover from a hamstring injury. Somebody's probably giving him terrible advice. No, just rub some of this shit in there. It's good. There's nothing in there. It's a banned substance in there. No, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't trust anybody. I don't know. I mean, some people are full of shit, you know. People are full of shit. And I wouldn't trust anybody. And the Reds, I am sure, just like every other major league team, has had multiple conversations with the team about this kind of stuff. Don't use anything unless you're 100% sure you know what you're using. Don't let anybody tell you anything, because people talk out their ass, you know? So he's suspended for 80 games, half the season. He's 22 years old. This is his big year. A lot of people thought he would possibly be rookie of the year. Now he's missing. He's going to miss the entire first half of the season. And if the Reds get into the postseason, he won't be eligible to play in the postseason either. And he'll have that hanging around his neck for the rest of his career. He's a cheater. He's a steroid user. He's a juicer. I don't understand. When I was 22, I was a complete dumbass. I probably could have been talked into stuff, you know, by people that I trusted, who I put, you know, mislaid trust in. Anyway, that sucks. That's terrible. I don't know. What's he going to do? I mean, he's not, I just wonder what he's going to do for the next few months where he's not allowed to play baseball. He's not allowed to do anything. He's on the ineligible list, you know. God, he's going to be in limbo for the first half of the season. I think somebody said if there's no rainouts or whatever, he could come back June 24th. He's not coming back on June 24th. For one thing, you can't just stick somebody into the major league. You know, you can't. There's a ramping up. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, that sucks. What the hell's going on? That's no good. No, I'm not a fan of the steroids. Don't get me started on it. I don't even want to talk about it. You know, I'm not one of these guys. Like, if it's a guy on my team, I'm going to be like, wow, I mean, these are young men, you know. You know, he's under a lot of pressure. You know, I'm not, screw that. You should be smarter than that. That's what I'm saying. Another crazy thing that happened to me recently. So my phone started ringing. An alarm started going off at 6 a.m. every day. 6 a.m. I mean, that's no good. And then I don't really go back to sleep, right? And I have an app that I use for alarms, you know. And this is not, that app is not the one that was going off. It was something, it looked completely different. I was like, what in the hell is this? What is this? And it took me like 2 or 3 days to figure out what in the hell was going on. You know, I don't know. I mean, it wasn't the normal app that I use for alarms. And every morning at 6 a.m. So I ended up leaving the phone, but the thing would just go off on and on and on. But I have to have the phone in the bedroom because my kids, you know, might need me or something because they're out. You know, one of them works until like 1 o'clock in the morning. You know what I'm saying? So I can't really like. So anyway, 6 a.m. it goes off, and then it destroys me for the rest of the day. I'm trying to figure out what the hell's going on, and I finally figured it out. It was some app that came with the phone. It was called Clock. I don't know what the hell. It's like one of those ones I've never opened that thing. It's just one of those generic apps that comes with the phone. And it was buried in there, and I think it's one of those ones you can't delete. I'm not 100% sure about that, but it's called Clock. And I opened the thing up for the first time. I've never opened it. I didn't even know what. You know, it's just on there. It's one of those things. It's on there, and it's buried. It's not. It's not on my main pages. It's buried. You know what I mean? And I open that thing up, and there it is, alarm. And it's Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Where in the hell? How in the hell? I have never opened that app in my life. How does something like that happen? Can somebody explain to me? I didn't even know what the app was. I assumed it had something to do with the clock. But, I mean, I've never opened it. It doesn't control the clock on the settings. In settings, that's where all that is. This thing is just a standalone app called Clock. I'm like, what in the hell? How? How's that happen? How? How's it? Can somebody explain that to me? So I deleted that shit. I took that alarm off there. I don't know if it's going to regenerate itself. Did somebody take my phone? How would they get into my phone? It's protected, password protected. I don't know. I don't know what happens. I don't understand how something like that could happen. I'm not kidding. So then I was looking at some of those other apps on there, and one of them is just called Store. Like, what the hell are these things? I opened it up. It's the Samsung Store. Like, what the hell are you going to get in there? Like a Samsung windbreaker or something? Baseball cap? I don't know. It's like, I don't know. You can't even delete. I don't know. I didn't check to see if you can delete these things, but there's a lot of, there's some of those ones that come with the phone, like NFL. You can't delete them. I mean, they're on the phone. I don't give a shit about the NFL. I can't delete it. You know, it's just on there, and there's nothing you can do. So anyway, that happened. I don't understand the world. I don't understand. Somebody hacked my phone. Did somebody grab my phone? I'm going to set this thing up for 6 a.m. every day just to screw. Maybe, I don't know who did it. I don't know if it was done or if it, like, maybe there's some kind of glitch. You know, I don't know. Can somebody explain that to me? Can somebody help me out with that? I'm distraught over this. But I deleted it and it hadn't been going off. So, let's see. Do I have anything else? My main topic for today, although we're halfway through, is my beloved Budget Tapes and Records, which is an extremely important thing in my life. When I was a kid, I was into, you know, music. Like, I was always into music. I always liked music. I always just listened to AM radio when I was, like, really young, like elementary school and stuff. And I was, you know, I listened to WKAZ, which was the big pop station in Charleston. And, you know, I bought 45s. You know, I had a bunch of 45s. And so I was always into music, but I was a kid, you know. And then at some point, I got really into the Beatles. It was like middle school, junior high, whatever. I started getting into the Beatles, like, big time. Like, I became completely obsessed with the Beatles. And, you know, so I was always into music. There was this record store in Charleston, West Virginia, called Budget Tapes and Records. And when I started getting into the Beatles and stuff, they were... I'd go there a lot because it was the coolest, hippest place. You know, that was the coolest store in our area, Budget Tapes and Records. And then one time, there are two little things I want to talk to you about, Budget. But there's two stories I want to talk to you about Budget Tapes and Records that is important to me and played important parts of my life. Or at least they're interesting, I think. So they used to have three stores. They were, you know, when they're at the height of their powers, they had three stores. They had two in Charleston, and they had one in Cross Lanes. Cross Lanes was closest, I think, to our house. But the original one, which is in Canal City, is that's the coolest place. But I used to go to that one in Cross Lanes because it was close to us. And I was in there one day. George Harrison had released a solo record. This is when I was just full-blown Beatles. I didn't listen to anything else. Had this snobby attitude like, the Beatles are the greatest. Why would I listen to something less than the greatest? You know what I mean? That was my attitude. It's like, why would I bother wasting my time listening to something that's not the greatest? You know? That was my attitude. So I was 100% Beatles at that point, you know? And this is before I could drive. So I don't know, when I was 15, 14, somewhere in that neighborhood, I remember my mother was with me. So she took me out there. It's crazy. I used to beg my parents, could you take me to Budget? And they're like, I just worked an entire day. I mowed the lawn, you know, cooked dinner, you know, cleaned up the kitchen. Anyway, yeah, could you take me to Budget, though? There's a new Ringo Starr album. I don't know. Like, what the hell? Like, I can't believe it. If my kids asked me that, I'd be like, no, not going to happen. But sometimes they would say, okay. Sometimes they would say, no, just like I would. But she took me out there, and new George Harrison album. It's the one just called George Harrison. Has a green cover. Has like a close-up of his face, but looks like he's surrounded by foliage, if you know. So that thing came out, and I wanted to get it, you know. And so she drove me out there, and I went in there. I made a beeline to the George Harrison section. I knew exactly where it was because I've been there 1,000 times. Used to go to that store all the time. I had it under my arm, and I was flipping through the other. I was flipping through the Beatles. It was a whole thing. You know, you go in there and you flip through the Beatles first, see if there's anything new in there, you know. And then you go over to John Lennon, you know, flip through his stuff. Paul McCartney, look, flip through his stuff. George Harrison and then Ringo, you know, flip through all. And it was a ritual. You did it in a specific order. Beatles, John, Paul, George, and Ringo, you know. And so I was doing that. I was powering through my ritual, and they were blasting some music in there. I had no idea what it was. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know anything about any of that, you know. But it was something I'd never heard before. It was sounded pretty. I was like, what is this? I kind of like this, you know. And as I continued flipping through the stacks, I was like, I really do like this. What the hell is this? And so I went up there to the counter, and the guy, I said, what is this? And the guy handed me a cover of a band called the of a record by a band called the Boomtown Rats. It was an album called A Tonic for the Troops. And I was like, I kind of like this. And then the guy said, yeah, they're from Ireland, just came out, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, huh, interesting. So I went back, continued my ritual, and I was like, I think I'm going to buy this. And I felt like I was like being, I felt like I was cheating on the Beatles. You know, I felt kind of guilty. I had a twinge of guilt, you know. That's my insanity, right? So, but I bought it, and I felt dirty. I felt like I was doing something I shouldn't be doing, you know. It gave me a little bit of a rush, you know. You know what I'm saying? So I took that thing home. Freaking loved it, man. I played that. I know every word of that album to this day. I could put it on right now. I could just sing along to the whole thing. That thing's great. I mean, I'm not saying it's one of the great albums of all time. I'm not saying it's in the, it's going to be on any of the best albums of all time lists or anything. But all I know is it's good. It's fun to listen to. It's solid. There's not a bad song on it. Good stuff. And that triggered the slipperiest of slippery slopes. I became obsessed, full-blown obsessed with, like, alternative rock, punk, new wave, all that stuff. And that was the day. I mean, I can zero in on a moment when everything changed for me, and I became obsessed with it. And I started, like, reading magazines. I started reading zines. I just became obsessed with it. I mean, to the point of, like, mental illness, you know? And I just couldn't get enough. And I was, like, chasing the dragon. I wanted something. I wanted that feeling again, just like that Boomtown Rats gave me, you know? When I went home, my brain exploded. I was like, what is this? Oh, my God. I never heard anything like this before. What is this? You know, and it was so British, and it was rocking, and the lyrics were fantastic. There's like humor in there. It's perfect. And so I was chasing the dragon. I wanted that feeling again, you know. So that was a huge, huge moment. So I started going out. I started hanging out in Budget Tapes and Records, the original location mostly, out there in Canal City. And it was, I went there, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 times a week. I was in there all the time, flipping through the stacks, seeing what I could find. I would buy anything I could get, anything that was mildly interesting. You spend thousands of dollars in there. The people that worked in there knew me. I was in there all the time. It was like home away from home. And one time I was in there I remember it was a Sunday. And I bought something, some kind of stupid shit. I don't know. It's like a Heaven 17 record or something. Like, what the? I probably didn't even know what it was. Probably just thought, that looks interesting. I'll buy that, you know? Because sometimes I would do that. I wouldn't even know who the band was. I just like, that looks like a pretty good, I'll roll the dice on that, you know? For some reason, I remember it was Heaven 17. It's like some kind of dancey bullshit, new wave crap. But anyway, I bought that, and there was some box there where you could enter to win some kind of contest or whatever. I put my name, telephone number in there. You know, I've done it 100 times before. There's always something going on in there. The place is cool, hip, great place. The staff was knew all about music. They were like cool, and they had all the great magazines in there. They had all the records in there. They had imports, all the indie stuff. Ah, it's fantastic. Best place on earth. That's the way I viewed it. So I dropped my name into that bucket and just left. And I didn't think a thing about it. I was working at the toll bridge as a toll collector, just sitting there working, just collecting quarters, you know, collecting quarters as people cross the bridge. And I was listening to the rock station, which was called FM 105 at the time. You know, just classic rock type stuff. And it wasn't classic back then. It was just rock. Now, they play the same music now. I think it's called Rock 105 now. It's the same station, though. Playing the same, I think it's the same playlist as they were playing in, like, 1982 or whatever. But anyway, I had that on in the background. And the guy from Budget was on there. The owner of Budget, Dave Pope was his name. He was on there. They said they were going to draw names for this big contest. And they said the person they draw is going to have 105 seconds to call in and they win the big prize. Didn't really hear what the big prize was. Half paying attention. And you can guess what they did. They said, Jeff K. of Dunbar, you're the big winner. You have 105 seconds to call in. So I was like, what the? You know, I called in. They put me directly on the air, and they said, Jeff, you won the 105 second record run at Budget. I said, what? Record run? What the? He goes, yeah, you're going to have 105 seconds to run around the store, grab as many records as you can get, and then you get to take them. They belong to you. Restrictions apply. You know. I said, wow, that's cool. He said, where are you at right now? It's kind of loud there. I said, Dunbar Toll Bridge. Oh, what are you doing? So I said, I work at the Dunbar Toll Bridge. Oh, you work at the Dunbar Toll. Ho, 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 ho. You know. It's like, I don't know why that's funny, but okay. So anyway, I won this thing, and I went and I went to Budget, and there were all kinds of restrictions. It was on, there were people from the news. I mean, they were filming this thing. There were a bunch of people in there. I was the center of attention, which I don't like. And, you know, they're filming it. My mom was there for some reason. I don't know. She wanted to come up and watch or something. I was like, ah. So I was on TV on the 6 o'clock news, and there was all kinds of restrictions. This is before the store opened, by the way. So there's nobody in there except me and, you know, all the people watching. And, the restrictions, one of the main restrictions were you could only get 3 albums by one group, by one artist. So no more than 3 albums. So you can't just go over there and grab the entire Led Zeppelin section and just put it up on the counter. And they had a table. You had to run back to the table and put it, like, you could carry as many as you could carry. But at some point, you had to take them and drop them on the table, you know? You know what I'm saying? And so they put that table far away. So I had 105 seconds and had these restrictions. And I ran around there. I think I had 86 at the end. After they took everything out, after they took, you know, they put a whole bunch of stuff back because of the restrictions. I think it was 86. I don't know. It was a long time ago. But it was on the news. It was on the 6 o'clock news. They sped up the film, so it looked like I was bouncing around the store. You know, and there was like some kind of circus music playing in the background. I don't know. And I remember there was this guy Barry that worked there. He comes strolling in. He's come in to do his shift, you know. And he was like, "This is the guy that won. He already owns every record in the store," you know, because I was in there all the time. And so anyway, after it was over, he goes, the Dave Pope, who owned Budget, he said, yeah, if there's anything here that you don't really want, you just turn it back into us and we'll give you store credit. So I had like a store credit for like, I don't know, 30 albums or something. It's like I turned like, these numbers, I don't know if they're exactly right, but it felt like I was like, I had like a store credit for like 30 records, 30 albums, full length albums. So I could just go in there and like over the next few months, yeah, I'm just going to use my voucher. All right, Jeff. All right. You know, it felt like a bottomless pit. It was fantastic. You know, that was so great. You know, but anyway, they're closing 52 years. They opened in 1972. They remained open all these years. Just the original location's open now, or you know, closed last Sunday. And you know, there's a guy there. His name's John, and he worked there for 48 years. So they were open for 52. He worked there for 48. He was there back when I was in high school and before. Back when I was in, like, middle school, he was working there. And he's working there until last Sunday, you know? Isn't that wild? That's wild. But they were able, even after the music industry went swirling down the old poop catcher, they were able to keep that place running, you know? They kept it running. They were selling stuff that wasn't really music related anymore. They sold a bunch of clothing in there. They had a bunch of hippie clothing in there. They had a section for adults. They had, I don't know, they had like, you know, all kinds of stuff in there. All kinds of sexual whatever. Dildos, butt plugs, fleshlights, you know, I don't know, inflatable women. I don't know, there's all kinds of stuff. I don't even know. I never stepped foot behind. I never went through the beaded curtain. Let's put it that way. I didn't even want to go in there. It's all kind of, but I saw people, you know, passing through the beads all the time. And they also had a lot of, like, marijuana stuff. You know, they had all kinds of bongs and whatnot. Also very, I don't know, I don't know anything about that, you know. That's not really, it's a mysterious area of the store that I wasn't really familiar with. And they sold, you know, like I said, clothing. Clothing was probably like 50% of the store. And they kept that place running until like last Sunday. Not too many record stores are still running. They were able to keep it running. They called it a lifestyle emporium. It was still called Budget Tapes and Records, but it said Budget Tapes and Records, a lifestyle emporium. So anyway, that place has played a big part of my life. And it's gone. Sucks, man. I don't know, it's one of those things where it's like, oh my God, I thought that place was always going to be there, you know? I mean, yeah, it made it a long time, 52 years. You know what they did, though? Everybody's getting all nostalgic about it, and this is just like customers putting this together, a candlelight vigil for the closing of Budget Tapes and Records. I saw that on Instagram or whatever. I was like, what the, that's a bridge too far. I mean, I love that place. Not sure I would have gone to a candlelight vigil for a record store. Anyway, people are upset about it, you know. Yeah, they said they're going to, I think they're tapping in. They know that people are like, you know, they love that place. So many people love that place. They're going to do one last money, you know, cash grab. They're going to sell T-shirts, some kind of commemorative T-shirts and hats. And they put this stuff on Facebook and Instagram and stuff and says, we're gonna be selling hats and T-shirts. Keep watching our social media accounts for details on when and where you can buy the stuff. It says right there. I mean, it's like a two-sentence post. We're going to be selling T-shirts and caps. Keep an eye on our social media accounts for more information on when and where you can buy it. Okay. You go into the comments. First comment, where can I buy these? Like, what the hell is wrong with people? Do you not read? It's a two-sentence. Is two sentences too much? Clearly, you didn't read the second sentence. It's like, where can we buy these? Do we know where these are going to be available? People are like, I'll take one. I'm an XL. Like, what the hell? You think you're placing orders on this thing on Facebook? It's like, what a bunch of dumbasses. It's like infuriating. It's like, please keep an eye on our social media accounts for information on when and where. Where can I, when? When are these available? Could I order two t-shirts and one hat? My name is Mike. Like, what? This is not an order form, Dick. Like, what the hell's wrong with people? I mean, seriously. Facebook is the most infuriating thing. People are so stupid. Like, what in the world? What has happened? I don't think people were stupid. I mean, there were stupid people. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, but it feels like it's 75% dumbass at this point. I mean, I don't know. People are don't know how to type. They don't know how to spell. They put the dollar sign after the number. They put any word that ends in S, they have an apostrophe. Their grammar is atrocious. They should be thrown in prison for their grammar. And they don't read, or they don't comprehend. I don't know. It said, keep an eye, and we'll tell you. In the future, we'll post again, and we'll tell you, how do I get one of these? I'll take, are you going to sell belts? I'm like, what the? People are so stupid. God. All right. But anyway, they're closed. It sucks, man. That's another, you know, it's another stake through my heart. Hugely important part of my life. And I don't want to be melodramatic about it. I mean, I wouldn't be melodramatic to the point of going to a candlelight vigil. But it was an important place. I wish him well. I'd like to get John on here. Maybe I can see if I can get John Nelson from Budget Tapes and Records, have him come on here and talk about history of that historic record store in Charleston, West Virginia. All right. That's the end of that. I do have one call. It came in over the hotline, and it's from our producer, Zip. Here it is.
Hey, Jeff K., this is Zip. This one's a little old. I kept forgetting to send it to you, but, you know, who gives a shit? It was about fears. You know, like, I have a fear. It's kind of embarrassing. I guess it's not embarrassing because they are dangerous. I do not like flying stinging insects, like cockroaches and beetles. That doesn't bother me. Snakes don't bother me. I used to kill them all the time when I had a chicken coop. Spiders. I mean, it's like I don't want those things like crawling on me in my bed. Excuse me. But they don't bother me. But man, wasps and like hornets, they scare the shit out of me. I am a total pansy around them. I usually take like a hyper aggressive where I'll run at the nest and spray it and run away. But yeah, you know, like honeybees actually don't bother me too much. But man, like wasps, cause especially when I lived in Texas, there's these giant blood red hornets. I don't know if I think it's a southern thing. Cause now that I live in the north, I don't see them. But they're like hornets and they're blood red and they're mean as hell. And I grew up with them and they just scare the absolute crap out of me. So that's my fear. Now everybody knows that they can use that against me.
Flying, stinging insects. Yeah, well, I'm afraid of those too. I don't like that either. I don't like that either. I don't even like, there's some insects like, what do you call this thing? Dragonflies. I don't think those things sting, do they? I'm scared of those guys. I don't know. I don't like anything that flies around. I don't like flies. They bite. Some of those big black flies, they bite. They don't sting, but I think they bite you, you know? And I don't like that either. And I don't think that's something to be, you know, I think that's relatively common, I guess. The funny thing is, we've had quite a few calls on this subject, right? On phobias, things that you're, you feel like you might be inordinately afraid of, you know? Like something that's like a real strong phobia for you. It feels like everybody that's called, like I made my list, heights. I hate heights. I don't remember what else I listed. There's a lot of stuff. Snakes and shit like that. snakes. You said you don't have any problem. I've seen pictures of you holding snakes, like snakes that you slaughtered trying to get to your chicken house in Texas. I've seen that. I don't like snakes either. I don't like spiders. I don't like that kind of crap. And I don't like flying insects either. I don't like wasps and hornets. I got stung on the back of the head a couple summers ago. I was just walking into the house. I think I just got off work, maybe, or I was coming home. I don't know where I was coming home from. I just parked my car in the driveway and was just walking towards the front door. Oh, do-de-do-de-do, you know, just walking along. And a freaking hornet flew out of somewhere and stung me on the back of the head. Like, what the hell's that? Like, why? I didn't do anything. I wasn't being aggressive. I was just walking along. That thing stung me on the back of the head. I had like a big old giant bulge on the back of my head for like a week and a half. I got stung on the back of my, like when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, I got stung on my back, the center of my back, when I went to my friend Vincent's house, walked up on his porch, was going to knock on his door. Some wasp stung me through the back of my shirt, through my shirt, in the center of my back. That thing was swelling up like it looked like a donut. It had like the center of it was like collapsed. It was like swollen, but the middle of it was collapsed down. It looked like I had a Krispy Kreme glazed donut on the center of my back. You know, I've been stung so many times in my life. I know people, I talk to people all the time, say they've never been stung by anything, like a bee or anything, or a wasp or a hornet or anything. Like, how do you live? How do you never go outside? I mean, how is that even possible? I got one time I took our dog, who's no longer with us anymore, the late, great Black Lips Houlihan, Andy, the king of dogs, the finest example. It was back before his terrible passing, before he went across the Rainbow Bridge, just like my socks. Whew, getting a little emotional. Anyway, I took him outside. He was down here, clearly wanting to go outside. So, I don't want him to, you know, drop one of his yard crawlers. Took him outside. I opened the door. I walked outside, and something stung me on the arm. I don't know, or bit me. I don't know. I don't know if it was a poisonous spider of some sort or something. But I got stung. Something stung me on my arm, on my lower arm. Like my forearm, and that thing turned into like I looked like some kind of Popeye. The thing was swollen up. There was clear liquids rolling out of it, pouring out of it day and night. I never went to the doctor. The thing was like changing colors. It was like the thing was change colors, you know, based on, I don't know, weather conditions. I don't know what it was. But it was changing colors. It was all swollen up. There was like fluids pouring out of it, and people at work were like, "You're gonna lose. They're gonna have to cut that arm off. So you gotta go. That thing's gonna spread to your heart. You know what the hell? So you're gonna get stung by some kind of brown recluse or something. I don't know. So you need to go straight to the ER. I'm like, I'll be all right. You know." There's like, I had to wear like long sleeves in the summer, and I had like my sleeve on the left side just rolled all the way down. It's like full. The thing was getting wet because there's just fluids pouring out of it. And I'm like, I'll just ride it out. Everything's fine. But anyway, I'm with you, Zip. I'm with you on this thing. I don't like any of that. I don't like anything that's flying, buzzing. I knew a guy who was so scared of bees that he went to a hypnotist. He went to a hypnotist to try to break him of his fear of bees. Didn't do it. Didn't even touch it. The guy's still afraid of bees to this day, as far as I know. But, you know, I don't think it's certainly nothing to be ashamed of. I mean, the thing about it is, like I was getting ready to say, everybody that calls in, like I listed my ones when I talked about it to begin with. And then everybody else that's called in, we've had a lot of calls on this subject. I was like, yeah, that's me too. It's like everybody that calls in, I'm like, yeah, I got my original list, and now that you bring it up, I'm afraid of those things too. So I feel like I'm afraid of everything. Apparently, I don't know, but anyway, thanks for the call, Zip. I appreciate it. And I think we're at the end of this thing's long. It's a long one. Sorry about that. We're at the end of this one. So give me a call, like Zip, if you want to tell me about your phobias. Yeah, I'd like to hear about them. Give me a call, 570-290-8151. That's the number, 570-290-8151. Call me round the clock. You know what I'm saying? You can, it's voicemail, and you can just make a comment, ask a question, tell me your phobia, whatever you want to do. All right. So do that. And also, if you want two episodes a week instead of a measly one, you can do that too. Let's see, how you do that? Oh, Patreon, patreon.com/JeffK. Sign up for a $4 or more monthly donation, and you'll get an extra episode every week. Not every once in a while. That's for suckers. Every week. Or at least every time I have a new episode, I put a couple days later, there's a second episode only for patrons, and it costs $4 a month. That's like nothing. Put that on a credit card. You won't even notice it. But you know, you will notice when you're listening to a whole bunch of extra episodes that only a few people in this world get to hear. You'll be on the inside, a VIP. So do that today. Patreon.com/JeffK. And SurfReportPod.com is the website for the podcast. Expanded show notes, links, photographs, etc. So check that out too. SurfReportPod.com. I'm messing around with that thing, trying to make it look better. I don't know. I think it looks decent. I'm not 100% happy with it. But I'll monkey around with it and get it better. But it's pretty good right now. SurfReportPod.com. Check it out. All right, we're at the end of this thing. Thank you guys for everything. I appreciate you listening. And until next time, which will be over on the Patreon side, hope you guys have yourselves a fine, fine day. I'll see ya. Bye. It's satirical. The title creates a humorous image of surf reports for a landlocked state with no coastline.